Network, I'm Glenn Vaughan. The Washington-Oregon Potato Conference is coming up January 27th through the 29th at the Three Rivers Convention Center in Kennewick. Topics at this year's conference include weed control, addressing heat stress, soil management, and a whole lot more. Learn more or register today online, potatoconference.com. When looking back at some of the biggest weather stories of 2025, the Pacific Northwest was near the top of that list. USDA meteorologist Brad Ripia says the atmospheric rivers that smashed the Pacific coast, a rough way to wrap up a relatively dry year.
Western Washington bore the brunt of the December flooding that peaked on December 10th and 11th, with record crests in portions of the Snohomish, Cedar, and Nooksack rivers, just to name a few. Tens of thousands were asked to evacuate, damage occurring both in farmland areas and residential communities.
Those rivers, Rippey pointed out, moved south, impacting Oregon, eventually to Southern California by Christmas time.
Many locations picking up anywhere from 4 to 12 inches of rain, some locally higher amounts, heavy mountain snow, and that led to significant flash flooding and debris flows, which peaked on Christmas Eve across Southern California.
Once again, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. USDA says 13.7% of U.S. households, or 18.3 million people, were food insecure in 2024.
Food insecure households, or those with low or very low food security, had difficulty at some time during the year providing enough food for all their members because of a lack of resources. The 2024 prevalence of food insecurity was similar to the 13.5% of households in 2023 and the 12.8% in 2022. USDA said 9.1% of households with children were food insecure during 2024. That's a total of 3.3 million households. I'm Paul Taylor on the PNW Ag Network.
This is the PNW Ag Network.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Don't risk losing the news, sports, and weather that AM radio delivers. When cell and internet service fail, AM is your lifeline. With time running out, your voice matters. Text AM to 39179 and tell Congress vote yes on the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
When you have a lot of holiday gifts to pack and ship, the UPS store wants you to remember these 6 words.
Don't you worry about a thing.
At the UPS store, we know packing odd-shaped or fragile holiday gifts can be tricky and time-consuming. That's why we have certified packing and shipping experts at each one of our nearly 4,000 locations. They're trained to pack and ship just about anything and get you in and out fast. We can even set you up with a mailbox at our store where you have a real street address, and we can sign for your incoming packages. So when it comes to holiday packing and shipping, just think of these 6 words.
Don't you worry about a thing.
The UPS Store, the place for packing, shipping, and a whole lot more. To find the location closest to you, visit theupsstore.com.
Hi, this is Brad Rylick, owner of the UPS Store on Hood River Heights next to Papa Murphy's. When it comes to shipping, certified package, document services, or you need a mailbox with a real street address, don't worry, we're the UPS Store, Hood River shipping and business professionals.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
This forecast is brought to you by SheFire. We're your local fire protection company. Call to get your fire extinguishers inspected today. 541-980-1181. SheFire, 980-1181.
Rain today, highs low 40s, west wind of 15 miles per hour. Snow level in the upper valley down to 2,000 feet for today. So we could see snow above that mark. Then tonight, that snow level could get down to 1,500 feet.
98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
8:05 in the morning, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Wednesday, the 7th of January, as we are at the midway point of the opening full week of 2026. Thanks for joining us today. Grace Wesson is going to be with us here in a few minutes from Hood River County OSU Extension, their 4-H Outreach Program Coordinator, 4-H Youth Development. We'll talk about 4-H, what they're doing in Hood River County, and some opportunities are coming up. They've got enrollment going on right now through the end of the month, and also looking for volunteers as well, as often organizations like them are doing. So we'll do that with you coming up this morning on the show. We had a second guest, but unfortunately got a last minute cancellation. So we're getting the year off to a gradual start here. But we will persevere and carry on. But here's what we've got for you as far as what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1610, astronomer Galileo Galilei observed four of Jupiter's moons for the first time. 1955, singer Marian Anderson became the first black American to sing with the Metropolitan Opera in New York in Verdi's Un ballo in maschera. I have no idea if I pronounced that right. 1979, Vietnamese forces captured the Cambodian capital of Phnom Penh, overthrowing the Khmer Rouge government. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I remember it from my childhood, but I have not had to try to pronounce it in many years. 2015, masked gunmen stormed the Paris office of Charlie Hebdo, a French newspaper that had caricatured the Prophet Muhammad, methodically killing 12 people, including the editor, before escaping. Two suspects were killed 2 days later. 2022, three white men who chased and killed Ahmaud Arbery were sentenced to life in prison. A judge in Georgia denied any chance of parole for the father and son, who armed themselves and initiated the deadly pursuit of the 25-year-old black man after spotting him running in their neighborhood. And 2023, Republican Kevin McCarthy was elected Speaker of the House as a historic post-midnight 15th ballot took place, overcoming holdouts from his own ranks after a chaotic week that tested the new GOP majority's ability to govern. Days for today. It is the first one I'm going to do here. I'm almost probably shouldn't do. It's not in good taste. But it was on the list. It's National Pass Gas Day. I have no idea why. It's National Old Rock Day today. National Bobblehead Day. Not sure why today of all days, but it has been fascinating over the last number of years. Bobbleheads have just exploded in the collectible marketplace over the years. Now baseball, football, everybody, they do them all. They've created now where they probably have wrecked it for the collectibles as a whole. But I remember a few years ago, a friend and I went to a Mariner game on a Sunday afternoon up in Seattle. And we did not know it was James Paxton Bobblehead Day. James Paxton had a brief period of time where he was the ace of the Mariners staff as a pitcher. And they did a bobblehead. And people were lined up around the block. I'm pretty sure these things now, we each got one. They were giving away to everybody, apparently. We weren't necessarily looking to stand in line for them, but apparently we were in the first whatever thousand. I think I still have it tucked away in a closet. I'm pretty sure it's probably only worth about a buck a quarter at this point, because James unfortunately had arm issues, and I'm trying to recall if he pitched last year for somebody. But the point being, it really wasn't very valuable. But there are people, you know, picking them up and then walking out the door. And there are also people outside buying them. And you know, at some point, that chain was going to... Somebody was going to buy one in the end, and the dollar value was going to drop out on it. I do wish, though, I still had a... My grandpa and grandma had... It was a generic L.A. Rams bobblehead that was made in the early 60s. It was really cool. This was really solidly built, you know. Not like the one I've got, the James Paxton one. It's plastic. It's, you know... Not to say it was shoddily built, but it's not what it was built like in the 60s when they made these things, and they were solid. And I wish I still had that. I don't know where that ended up. I wish I had it. Other than that, not interested. It's International Programmers Day today, and we're talking about computer programmers, of course. Harlem Globetrotters Day today. That was always a fun time. I saw them two or three times as a kid. Still, I think, probably worthwhile to go watch. I think it's still a lot of fun. And it's I'm Not Going to Take It Anymore Day today. I'm sure we can all think of numerous areas of life where we'd like to say that. And this is the day to do it. I'm not going to take it anymore day today. I immediately, being of the age I am, because I was a teenager when this came out, think of the Twisted Sister song, We're Not Going to Take It. It became kind of an anthem, if you will. Finally, our food today, it's National Tempura Day today. There it all is for what it's worth. Probably not a whole lot, I will admit. It is 8:11 in the morning. Come back. Grace Weston will join us from Hood River County 4-H. That's right after this.
As winter settles gently over the gorge, Farmgrass Table keeps the glow going. Swing by for your favorite flower, carts, edibles, and our newest winter drops to brighten the season. And check out our in-store game with weekly contests. A little spark of fun to welcome the new year. Thank you for voting us Best of the Gorge 2025. Two medals. We're truly grateful. Farmgrass Table, your hometown dispensary.
Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug for use by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles basketball. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at gorgeradio.com for Eagles basketball all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Sinclair Stations in Hood River and the Dalles, Shepherd's, and Bishop Sanitation.
The Eagle girls and boys host Hillsboro Wednesday at 5:30 on KIHR.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM, and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And it is now 8:13 in the morning. Grace Wesson joins us now from OSU Extension and Hood River County 4-H. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be on chatting with you about 4-H.
Well, we are going to talk about 4-H a little bit here this morning. And for those who aren't familiar, we'll start there first. Let's talk about what 4-H is.
Yeah, good question. So 4-H is the nation's largest youth development organization, and it reaches nearly 6 million young people across the United States. The mission of 4-H is to empower youth through hands-on learning, leadership development, and community engagement. And in Oregon, 4-H is part of the Oregon State University Extension Service. So what that means is that Oregon State University has offices in every county in Oregon where we bring university resources to local communities. And here in Hood River County, 4-H serves youth ages 5 through 19. Do you know what the 4-H's and 4-H stand for?
I have been told this before, and apparently it has not sunk in completely, or it went away at some point in my divesting of brain cells here over time. So what does it mean?
The four H's stand for head, heart, hands, and health. So it's really, I think that kind of goes to show that it's really about developing the whole individual in relationship to the community and helping youth gain confidence in themselves and independence and things like that.
That's
our fun little trivia question.
in Hood River County, how many kids do you have involved?
That's a good question. So I pulled up our metrics for 2025 because I was like, it'd be kind of fun to talk about our metrics for last year. So last year in the 4-H club program, we had 162 4-H participants, and that also includes what we call Clover Buds. So cute, ages 5 through 8. So 162 kids participating, 133 kids participating at the Hood River County Fair. So, pretty exciting to get that many youth involved.
With that, you know, 4-H has really evolved over the last number of years. I mean, I think when you think about 4-H, and I date back to my early days of doing this, which is years ago now, it tend to be primarily you thought about it in the agricultural vein. I think some in the home economics vein, as we used to call it. But 4-H really has changed, especially over the last about 10 to 15 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And a lot of people, when I, you know, just meet people in the community, they think of 4-H as, you know, a kid showing a cow at county fair, which is one of the great projects that you can do. But really, the possibilities are pretty much endless. 4-H is based on a positive youth development model where kids work with some adult mentors on projects that last months or even a year. Typically, these projects lead up to the Hood River County Fair where youth showcase their skills. So that project could be an animal project. That works great in that time span and teaches kids a lot about responsibility and finances, health, and things like that. But you can also do other agriculture projects. We have STEM projects. Wasco County is really known for their STEM robotics 4-H program, which is really fantastic. And here in Hood River County, kids can work on other STEM projects and work with their club leaders to take them to fair. Kids can do healthy living projects, which might be baking something for fair or crafting something for fair. We have sewing projects. And we actually have a lot of kids bring in woodworking projects, which is really exciting to see. As somebody who does not have expertise in woodworking at all, it is just amazing to me. We even had a few welding projects, too.
Right now, so, okay, woodworking and welding are areas I don't think I necessarily would have thought. I know the STEM projects we've talked about on the show and all the agricultural involvement, et cetera, and some of the healthy living projects, but I did not realize woodworking and welding. Is that one of those cases where you get a volunteer who has an idea for a program and it's a good one and kids gravitate to it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the volunteers are the heart and soul of the 4-H program. Last year we had 32 volunteers and club leaders helping with our clubs and 26 volunteers helping at fair. But they are the ones who have the most hands-on interaction with youth. So having a volunteer who has expertise in a certain subject area and is able to guide kids along a project so that they can learn by doing is so amazing. And I personally have learned a lot from our volunteers, too. So, yeah, you're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people, if you're listening to this and thinking, that sounds super fun, I want to get a friend together and start a 4-H club for something that I have expertise in and help kids in other subject areas too, please reach out to our office. I would love to chat with you because really possibilities are endless.
And we'll come back to the volunteer possibilities here in a few moments here as we go along. But part of what you also do in 4-H involves some teaching of leadership skills for these youngsters.
Absolutely. So that's a huge part of the 4-H positive youth development model. The clubs are run as a parliamentary procedure, so kids get a leadership role within their club, really teaching them those leadership skills amongst themselves. They can also participate in public speaking and leadership projects that they then bring to fair and get judged and can compete for ribbons, Green Champion, things like that. So yeah, really exciting. And, you know, our end goal for 4-H, is not just a blue ribbon project, but really, you know, blue ribbon, not to be corny, but blue ribbon positive attitudes, blue ribbon growth mindsets. And yeah, so beyond FAIR, we also offer some leadership conferences. There's that on the state level and national level. We had some kids actually go to Washington, D.C. for what's called the Ignite Conference last year. A really fabulous opportunity to network with people, learn a lot of hands-on things, and brainstorm ways to bring change and positive contribution to the community. We also do summer camps. One really unique one that my predecessor in this role set up is called Questing Clovers. And it is... its slogan is Game, Geek, and Grow. And so it's really cool. Kids get to do kind of like tabletop gaming-inspired activities. They learn things that are kind of themed like elven archery and stuff like that. So really, there's something here for everyone.
Did you say elven archery?
Oh, yes. But I'm not the expert.
Okay.
I'm not the personal expert in that. But, you know, we mentioned a lot of projects here, and yeah, you know, Archery sports are a potential 4-H project. If one day we do get a volunteer who's willing to teach that, that would be so much fun.
How does 4-H, you know, what do you find as the results of 4-H for these kids?
Good question. And I'm glad you asked, because the National 4-H Council has certainly done their impact studies. 4-H youth are 2 times more likely to make healthy choices and 4 times more likely to contribute positively to their communities. So I get really excited about this program because I think about it as developing the leaders and the community members of tomorrow. And I think the proof is really in the pudding. Our 4-H kids, when you see their work at FAIR and you see their confidence, it's really, really evident. Our goal is to help youth be beyond ready for life and beyond ready for leadership. So... super exciting.
Now, you do have an enrollment period, I think, going on right now, don't you?
That is absolutely correct, Mark. So our enrollment each year typically opens on October 1st and closes on January 31st. So the enrollment deadline is approaching for youth and adult volunteers. The first step for those interested is to find a club, and we like to guide people through that process when they're new to 4-H. So we would encourage folks to contact us. And then we have an online portal where folks enroll. And then what's left is paying dues, which is $30 per child, maximum of $60 per family. But I would like to add that financial assistance is available. So for folks who are thinking about 4-H maybe in future years, please know that cost should not be a barrier. We really want to help folks get involved.
You know, you mentioned the finding a club part. What's kind of the process there? I take it there's kind of this process of trying to of a kind of evaluating what a youngster wants to do.
Yeah, so we usually have people reach out to us with their project interests, the age of the child, you know, location, things like that. There's some of our clubs that are for more specific interests, and some that are more broad. There's some clubs that are static projects only, meaning that kids can work on, you know, STEM and cooking and sewing projects, but not work on animals in that club. Just because that, you know, requires a whole other layer of, you know, knowing about animals, whereas if your expertise is STEM, that's a great place to focus. So we really like to be thoughtful about how we place people, because at the end of the day, like I said, it's about placing youth in a really great community where they're excited about learning and feel that sense of belonging.
Yeah, it's always interesting, you know, that the trends of where what kids get interested in over time, because they change. You know, I would think STEM would be that area, the robotics, et cetera, kind of the the real hot area of interest, but are there other areas that are cropping up, and maybe also areas where you've had, you know, inquiries from kids and their parents about potential, you know, opportunities, whether there's a club in a particular subject, that maybe right now you don't have the volunteers and you'd like to get a volunteer that could run something?
Yeah, that's a great point. And like I said, the program is really based on the, you know, hands-on, face-to-face work that the volunteers do. So that's why, you know, we just appreciate our volunteers so much and are always welcoming new volunteers. But yeah, we've had some inquiries recently. Well, I'll start off with this, is that we can always use more animal clubs, because there's generally, you know, that baseline level of interest in that in the county. But in terms of, you know, new interests that are cropping up, we're having more interest in leadership and community service and entrepreneurship. And I know that that sounds kind of vague, whereas when you think of an animal project, you know, you have a vision of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of thing that we are here at the Extension office for. If volunteers are like, this sounds great and I don't quite know where to start, we can work with them on really getting the rubber on the road. But yeah, totally. Like you mentioned, I think with this newer generation, there is a lot of, there's that baseline interest in a lot of the traditional hands-on 4-H activities. And then some increasing interest also in, you know, things that impact the broader community in a different way, like leadership, public service, things like that. So,
what?
Yeah. We also are always looking for more static project club leaders. That include things like photography, art, leadership, and STEM. So I know I just listed so many different categories, but yes, we're always looking for new volunteers, whether it's animal projects, static projects, or something different like community service.
What's involved in leading a club?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's something that people ask a lot. They're like, I've heard of club leaders, but what exactly is the required time commitment from me? That's a good question, and I like that people are thoughtful, you know, when they're thinking about volunteering somewhere. Club leaders, you need to have two adult volunteer club leaders to start a club. Club leaders organize and help facilitate monthly-ish meetings for the youth. Usually the meetings are 1 to 2 hours or so, depending on what activity the youth want to do. The club leaders mentor youth and teach life skills, and then they help the youth coordinate activities and projects. So as a club leader, you would receive communications from our 4-H association and the Extension office and help us communicate that to families and students. The time commitment hourly is usually 2 to 6 hours or so a month.
You do have some parameters for starting a club, don't you?
That's right. So for youth safety reasons, we require at least 2 adult leaders to start a club. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know, oh, you know, me and a friend would be a really good fit for that, then that's great. And we also request that clubs recruit youth from at least 3 families. We can help place youth in the club as well. But as a 4-H and OSU program, we want to be as inclusive as possible. And it's part of that positive youth development model where youth are interacting with other youth outside their family and really building that community. So those are the baseline parameters. So if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, that sounds like me, feel free to give us a call or send me an email and I will totally walk you through it. I think it's super exciting when new people get involved. They bring fresh ideas to the table and a renewed energy around this awesome work that we do.
So again, the enrollment period is continuing through the end of this month, through the end of January. Again, for folks who maybe have the kids that be interested in doing 4-H and the various activities you have, how do they get enrolled?
Yeah, so kids who are new to 4-H, the first step is contacting our office. we are the ones who really have like the landscape of clubs in the area and which ones have capacity for new members and things like that. So that first step, and then we kind of walk folks through the rest, is to contact us. Our phone number, if you're interested, get out your pen and paper. Our phone number is 541-386-3343. You can also stop by the Extension office in person. We're located right across the street from Good News Gardening. And then you can also send us an email. I'm grace.wesson@oregonstate.edu. And we'll help you out. That would be that first step. Mm. I would love to outline the entire process, but I don't want to overwhelm people.
And but you've got enrollment online at 4-H online, I see.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So after people reach out to us and we find a club for them, then we refer them to our online enrollment system, 4-H online. And then we direct them to pay for the enrollment. Just $30 per child, maximum of $60 per family. So to avoid late fees, please enroll by January 31st. And remember that financial assistance is available. Mm-hmm. So if that is a thought for people, I would encourage you to reach out as soon as possible, and we can get that ball rolling. So three easy steps, finding a club and contacting us. Second step is enrolling online and 4-H online. And step three is paying dues.
And finally, we'll mention volunteering again. If someone is interested in volunteering with Hood River County 4-H, I assume the same contact information works.
Absolutely. So, just like the enrollment, there's a few steps to that, and it starts with an application. So I'd encourage folks to call us at 541-386-3343 or go ahead and email me at grace.wesson@oregonstate.edu.
And Grace Wesson's been with us, OSU Extension Hood River County 4-H Outreach Program Coordinator. Grace, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and thank you to your listeners for your time.
It is 8:32 in the morning in Mid-Columbia today. We'll check out what's in the news when we come back.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
Let Asset, Advanced Security and Electrical Technology introduce you to the cloud. No, not that kind of cloud. Cloud-based security systems. Let's face it, we all know the term cloud and what it is, but the people at Asset will use it to your advantage. Cloud cameras, cloud access control, cloud intrusion alarms. How does this benefit you? It'll centralize data security, eliminate the need for on-premises infrastructure, make backup and recovery easier, and a whole lot more. Asset isn't a 1-800 number place that you call. They're a local company. They live here too. And if you need video surveillance, access control, fire alarms, you name it, Asset will help create it and install a security solution that's perfect for you, including cloud-based security. Asset, your local connection to the cloud. Just not that kind of cloud. To find out more, visit asetinc.com and stay local. Asset, advanced security and electrical technology.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And And we welcome you back. It's 8:35 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Let's take a look at what's in the news. By a 3-2 vote, the Hood River City Planning Commission voted down a site plan review application to build a 135-room hotel on the site of the former Hood River News building at 419 State Street. The proposal by applicant Line 29 Architecture has brought out significant opposition at a December public hearing for a myriad of reasons, most notably for traffic, parking, and building height concerns. Planning Commissioner Matt Pope said before the vote it was a difficult decision.
I need to get my business's name out.
Visualize.
And apologies there, it seemed to go away. Let's try it one more time.
I believe the applicant has done a lot to attempt to meet the compatibility standard. I see it. I see it in the stepping back. I see it in the approach to state. I just believe with the bulk and the scale of that structure, it's not possible to meet with that or with that many rooms.
Mike Kitts and Zach Lytle voted no, while Bonifacio Romero and Kate Hoffman voted yes. It's expected the decision to be appealed to the Hood River City Council. Northern Oregon Regional Correctional Facility officials say an internal audit found the facility is in full compliance with Oregon law and found no violations. The finding comes after NorCorps Sheriff's Advisory Board asked for the audit to verify no individuals are being held for federal immigration administrative violations in accordance with Oregon's sanctuary statutes. In a statement, NorCorps officials said three individuals were identified as being held in federal charges of illegal reentry and dangerous drugs, but met all legal requirements for custody under Oregon law. However, the advisory board and NorCorps command have coordinated with the U.S. Marshals Service to transfer the trio to a different facility and also advised the Marshals Service that individuals facing illegal reentry charges are not to be transported to NorCorps moving forward. The sheriff's advisory board, made up of sheriffs of the four counties that operate the regional jail. Recent storms have left some roads and trails in the Mount Hood National Forest closed. Forest officials say on the Hood River Ranger District, Tamanawas Trail number 650A is blocked by multiple slides and completely washed out in one section, making Tamawanas Falls inaccessible via that route. The nearby East Fork Trail number 650 is a bridge washout north of Tamawanas Trail, along with additional slide damage and obstructions. On the Zigzag Ranger District, Still Creek Road and Salmon River Road are closed to motor vehicles at the forest boundary. Multiple landslides completely block both roads and clog culverts and are preventing drainage. Parking is very limited at the old Salmon River Trailhead. The Salmon Butte and Salmon River Trailheads farther down the road are inaccessible. On the Clackamas River Ranger District, Forest Road 63 and 70 are closed to motor vehicles, as well as all other roads west and south of Forest Road 46. Portions of FR 45 are also closed. Babby Hot Springs is inaccessible and closed to public access. Oregon State Highway 224 remains closed east of Estacada, temporarily limiting access to any forest roads beyond that point. Downed trees and slides are expected to continue over the next month. Forest staff will continue to assess conditions and update closures as conditions stabilize. Many roads to remain closed through spring. The updated dog control ordinance of the City of the Dalles going into effect today includes a requirement that dogs must be in control of their keeper when off the owner's premises, which the city says generally means dogs must be on a leash and not allowed to run at large, except in locations or situations where off-leash use is specifically permitted by law. The ordinance establishes limits on the number of adult dogs at 4 in a single-family residence and 2 in a duplex, multifamily, or other dwelling type. Those with more dogs before the new limits were established can file a non-conforming dog declaration available at the City of the Dalles website by March 8th, while also getting each dog licensed by July 1st. All adult dogs kept within the Dalles city limits will need to be licensed by July 1st, which requires a current rabies vaccination. The City Council will be approving dog license fees as January 26th meeting as part of the adoption of a municipal fee schedule. Currently 37 degrees in Stevenson, 36 in the Dalles, and 37 in Hood River. It's 8:39 in the morning.
I need to get my business's name out.
Visualize.
Full color printing.
Signs, cards, even clothing.
Conceptualize.
But it has to be affordable and look good.
Actualize. Rage Graphics and Design gets the word out. Advertise your business in full color with Rage Graphics and Design. From full color printed signs and banners to three-dimensional logos and more.
You can even get embroidered clothing with your logo or name on it.
Check us out at 217 East 3rd Street in the Dalles.
Or call 296-SIGN.
Rage Graphics and Design. Get the word out.
Hello, this is Dr. Schaefer of Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center. Whether skiing, walking on slippery ice, or working out in the cold, injuries to our lower leg and ankles increase during winter months. As foot and ankle providers, we diagnose and treat all types of injuries, from sprains and strains to fractures. Visit COSMC.org or call 296-2294, Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center in the Dalles and Hood River, where our goal is getting you back to being you.
After my wife died, I lost myself too. I didn't feel like doing anything or seeing anyone. Then my granddaughter called to say she misses me, and I realized I had to make a change. That's when I made the call. I got referred to a psychiatrist, and she explained depression can happen to anyone. I'm learning that getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. Mental health care works when you make the call.
See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
This forecast is brought to you by She Fire. We're your local fire protection company. Call to get your fire extinguishers inspected today. 541-980-1181. She Fire, 980-1181.
Rain today, highs low 40s, west wind to 15 miles per hour. Snow level in the upper valley down to 2,000 feet for today. So we could see snow above that mark. Then tonight, that snow level could get down to 1,500 feet.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is 8:41 in the morning. I want to mention yesterday Mount Hood Meadows held their Provide to Ride event for the fourth straight year. It benefits Fish Food Bank in Hood River County. Happy to report they generated over 5,600 pounds of food donations, nearly $10,000 from lift ticket sales. People got a free lift ticket yesterday if they brought 24 cans of food and two hams, to the resort. Or they could buy a specially priced lift ticket of the $49.44 went to fish in a donation. And they got some fresh snow up there. Supposed to get more here as we go along the next couple days. So good news, that snow arrived in time for that to help the folks at Fish Food Bank. So wanted to mention that because that took place the other day. Football, we'll note Jordan Davison apparently out for Oregon against Indiana Friday night. Reported broken collarbone by the Oregonian. One reason we know he's out is apparently for the college football playoffs, there is an injury report that has to be done. And it was released Tuesday of player availability, and Davison is listed as out. This is like NFL injury reports. The NFL has done these for years. Primarily, those were always essentially wink-wink for gambling. Now it's not wink-wink anymore. They really are a big part of that. That's a big loss for Oregon. What has probably kept Oregon maybe from really being the best team in the country this year, when you break it down, has been the inconsistency of their offensive line. And it showed in the Texas Tech game. That was really at the heart of a number of unforced mistakes. Now, Texas Tech has a great front seven, so there's full credit there defensively. But Oregon made some mistakes up front, unforced mistakes, missed blocking assignments. What Davison brings to Oregon in the ground game is he is a power between the tackle back. He can bang the tough yards. He gets yards after contact. He can turn maybe, that because of problems up front, what might be no gain or a loss, into a 2-3 yard pickup. And that's valuable. The difference between, let's say on 1st and 10, between losing a couple yards and facing 2nd and 12 and getting 3 yards out of it, and it's 2nd and 7, that's a huge difference, especially when we get to the level we're talking about here. And I don't think it's any secret. Oregon has to play much better offensively to have any opportunity against Indiana. If they play and make the same level of mistakes, both on the field and, frankly, in the play calling, because as good as Will Stein has headed to Kentucky has been, there were a couple plays, calls, especially, I think it was in the late first quarter, early second, when Oregon had the ball. They were already up 3-0. It was their second possession. They had gotten down to like a 4th and 1 around the Texas Tech 10 or so, somewhere in there. I admit my areas around football, my big thing is when you, if you're going to go for it there, it was like fourth and about a yard and a half. If you're going to go for it in that situation, and I didn't have a problem with that, it, you need to make sure, use your best people and don't get gimmicky. They ran a wildcat formation, direct snap to a back, and it didn't get close. Didn't get close. I hated that play call. Just hated it. Get the ball in Dante Moore's hands. If you decide you don't, A, you probably should rethink the go for it part if you don't think you can power a yard and a half. But number two, put the ball in Moore's hands and run some sort of run pass option, or you know, get him outside where he has some options to let his athleticism, as the athlete he is, to do it. But I hated that play call. But Oregon offensively, now Texas Tech's good defensively. And we know Oregon played a great game defensively. Anytime you get a shutout at this level of football, that is a tremendous accomplishment. But Oregon's offense has to be better. Otherwise, I think the result of the Indiana game is going to be similar to what it was in Eugene. 4:30 Friday. Airtime 2:30 on 92.7 1029 KMSW, our sister station. So you can hear it throughout the gorge. And, of course, you may well be at work when it starts because it's a 4:30 kickoff because everything is done for the East Coast. At least the Friday. Tomorrow is the other semi, which is the Fiesta Bowl in Tempe. You got Oregon and Indiana playing in Atlanta, in the Phoenix area. You sent Miami and Mississippi, the two teams from the South. They have a set bracket. That's why this happened. I mean, it could have been Alabama, Texas Tech at Atlanta, which would have made a little more sense. Title games in Miami on Monday night, the 19th. So we'll see. We'll see if the Ducks can pull this off. They are the underdog. I don't know what the spread is right now. I can check that real quick. They should be the underdog. There's no question there. They definitely are not the favorites in this. Indiana's earned it. Indiana really is. You know, they've been over the season the best team. I don't think there's any question there. I'm trying to find the odds for this. I can't find them. I'm shocked because ESPN pushes betting so much. I was just going to check there on my iPhone. I can't find it anywhere, which really surprises me. Certainly they've got odds here of some kind on this. I would think maybe a touchdown. It would be my guess for the line here. Miami is a 3.5-point favorite over Mississippi, which surprises me a bit. I'd take Mississippi there. Oh, Indiana, it's only a 3.5. I realize I grew up in Eugene. I realize I've been a Duck football ticket holder. And my disgust for what college football has become in many ways, I only watch Oregon games for the most part. If I was putting money on this, which I don't recommend, I'll be honest, at 3.5, I'd pick Indiana. I would. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see Oregon run the table here. I think the winner of that Oregon-Indiana game is probably the national champion. Even though it is Miami, you have to play Miami at their home stadium. That's where the title game is. But I still think Oregon and Indiana are better than Miami and Mississippi. I think Mississippi is going to beat Miami, by the way. As good as Miami's been defensively, I think Mississippi offensively is just a much more dynamic team than they've seen the first two rounds with Texas A&M and Ohio State. And it will not be the situation of the Ohio State rust factor I thought really played into that game in the first half. I think Miami got help with that. And they took advantage and won. Yeah, I would bet Indiana minus 3.5. I would. Indiana looked great to me. I mean, I know Alabama's controversial for being there, but I kind of like Indiana there. Anyway, got far afield there. We had a last-minute cancellation this morning. That's why I'm jabbering like this. Tomorrow we're talking Hood River Rotary Club ski night, by the way. I'm going to take the break here, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to bounce something off you here. Something we've been bouncing around, and in regard to the show. And what we're probably going to start doing here in the next few weeks online. I'm going to bounce something off you. And I'll do that right after this.
I believe the applicant has done a lot to...
So, do you want to hit the range this weekend?
Sounds good. I do want to pick up some ammo and supplies first, though.
Yeah, me too. Have you seen those red dot sights? They help even a mediocre shot like me hit the target every time.
Oh, wow. I've seen you shoot. That is impressive.
I know, right? Wait, what?
Gorge Guns is on target for all your shooting supplies and accessories. You want to talk or learn anything and everything about guns? You'll find it at Gorge Guns. This is Travis Arney, 25-year industry professional, firearms aficionado, and Gorge Guns general manager. Trust Gorge Guns for the service, knowledge, and solutions you want for hunting and self-defense. At our beautiful new location of the only gun shop in Hood River, you'll find firearms, scopes, suppressors, ammo, accessories, in-house modifications and installations, ARs, class referrals, target practice info, appraisals, and gunsmith referrals. It's all at Gorge Guns in our new location, 1040 Tucker Road, Hood River. Online at gorgeguns.com. Gorge Guns, the best little gun shop in the gorge.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment? That's a lie. Most timeshares can be bought online for a dollar. To find out what your timeshare is worth and to cancel it, call us today and we'll send you our timeshare exit kit free with all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-349-8877. That's 800-349-8877.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today Guest is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
...8:52 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Here's the question I got for you. And you can send some feedback via email, through our website, whatever. We've been discussing, because we are living in an on-demand world, much more than, you know, years ago as this show has developed, and exploring better ways to distribute this on-demand online, as in be available wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm trying to find out, you know, what the best way is to do that, because I'm no expert in this by any means. You know, I there's a couple podcasts I subscribe to, hockey podcasts most notably. And I'm trying to figure out what people would like us to do for that. We get requests for this. We do an archive online at our website, gorgeradio.com. But let's face it, that's not the easiest way for people to go get it. I mean, what you want is... you look up Mid-Columbia Today where you get your podcasts. I tend to use Apple because I use Apple products. And you subscribe to it. And each new show I get on the shows I subscribe, the show is there at my phone, ready to go when it drops. And that's the term they use. That means it got uploaded. Apparently, though, YouTube is actually the number one source for podcasts, according to industry surveys. Now, YouTube, of course, isn't just audio. YouTube utilizes video. And this is the question I have. I've been reticent to do video for this. It's morning radio. There are times I come into this show. I'm not a dressed for success person. If you've seen me out and about at all, you know, I'm more... like, I've got my Dodgers hoodie on right now. I got my blue jeans on. That's pretty standard. That's standard for a lot of us in this area. I'm not looking to get dressed up. I don't want to have my guests come in dressed up necessarily. But there's a lot of radio programs now because you'll get the technology folks will say, oh, you need to be on video. And then you try to monetize it and it doesn't pencil out very well. But would you be interested in a video element to this? Would you on this program to be able to see the program? Probably not live, but in the recorded form soon afterwards, what would be a podcast, an audio form. But would you like us on video? Is YouTube where you'd want to go consume this program? Outside, of course, of our stations. Now, obviously, our advertisers are going to come with us, by the way. We're not, it's not a situation where this would be ad-free. It's not. That remains regardless. Most podcasts are ad-supported, by the way. That's nothing new. But I'm just curious if video would make that much of a difference. If you have an opinion, you may have no opinion at all. That's fine. But let us know. Drop an email. mbailey@bicoastal.media. I'd like to know, for podcasting, where would you like us to be? I know you can't always make it between 8:05 and 9 o'clock in the morning. Or maybe you live in a fringe area. You might be listening online on our stream. And let's face it, you're not always, you have things to do in the 8 o'clock hour, but you want to catch the show. And we don't always get the archive up as quickly as we would do this. We would be planning for this to go up after a couple quick modifications, edits. We have to take out some network ads, things like that. Hopefully have it up and running by 9:30, be the guess, to have it dropped, as they say, into your phone. Or your iPad, or whatever you're using. But let us know. mbailey@bicoastal.media. Let me know, where would you want to hear this program in the on-demand world? Where do you get your podcasts? And do you have a preference for video over just audio? I prefer just audio, but that's me. 8:57, we'll tell you what's coming up tomorrow right after this.
At Audion Hearing, our mission is simple, to make better hearing affordable for everyone. We're proud to offer high-quality, rechargeable hearing aids starting at just $98. Clear, comfortable, and ready to use right out of the box. And here's a study worth hearing. Research shows that wearing hearing aids can reduce your risk of dementia by up to 61%. Join over 1 million happy customers and hear the difference today by going to audionhearing.com. That's audienhearing.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
I am Heidi Hedlund, the quality manager at Skyline. I'm able to participate in all the patient care processes that are important, like what prevents patient falls from happening, what prevents patient infections from happening. Those type of things happen very rarely here at Skyline, I am happy to say. Skyline's a great place to stay if your family member is sick or if you get sick, because quality is a foundational aspect of Skyline Health. I am Skyline.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:58 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Tomorrow, Hood River Rotary Club folks going to be with us. Good time with Hood River Rotary Ski Night. That is coming up on the 19th, and it looks like there'll be snow now. When I was first approached about this, as in the couple weeks after, I started to go, gee, is there going to be skiing available for this? There is. And this is always a very popular event for a great cause and all the things that the Rotary Club does. So we'll talk about that tomorrow morning. Tell you to get tickets for it. I'm going to have to reschedule somebody. This week's been interesting for me. I think this is number three as far as cancellation. I think a lot of people are probably like, though, me when they get back from all this, from the vacation time. Is you come to this sudden realization that you don't have the time you thought you did to do everything. So on Friday, though, Sarah Fox will be with us, Sense of Place series, and
Their next event's coming up on the 21st, and we'll have the one of the speakers with us, too. I admit I forget the name, but I don't have it written down here. We're going to talk salmon. That's going to be part of the talk on the 21st. And we'll talk Columbia Gorge Discovery Center on Friday as well. Monday, Mid-Columbia Center for Living and Port of the Dalles. Tuesday, both Hood River and Wasco counties will be subject of discussion. Next Wednesday, Mid-Columbia Community Action and Hood River County Health Department. We are out of time. I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us this morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Today's Country, KIHR.